the Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast. I'm Eric Larson, and once again, I'm here today with Mr. Nolan Stapleton.
I'm glad to be here.
Nolan, we've been looking at a lot of verification fields and corn all over the state, and it's certainly not a good time to be in the cornfield, is it?
It's definitely not. Temperatures are easily in the 90s and heat indexes of 106 or better.
Yeah, summertime has certainly got here for sure. So anyway, the corn crop is progressing along well. A lot of our early planted corn is approaching or already at dent stage. And our later planted corn back in April is progressing along too. It's lagging along back to milk stage, but we've got a lot of corn from milk to dent stage, maybe even a little bit that's past dent stage. And, you know, obviously we're concerned with water use now. We've been dry for a while, and we're starting to see some changes in water use consumption by the corn crop. So growth stage is certainly very important in deciding how we're going to manage the crop from this point going forward.
And as a producer, how would I tell dough stage from dent stage?
Well, that's a lot more difficult proposition than what you would think. And the problem is that corn readily starts to dent during the dough stage. But dent stage is not technically defined until you have hard starch that starts to occur up in the tip of the kernels. So there is, obviously, we can feel for hard starch on the kernels. We also see a pretty definite change in the color of the corn kernels when we get to dent stage. But we've got to be looking for those two things and realize that just the presence of dents does not necessarily indicate that we are at dent stage. So in order to do that, I like to break the ears in half to start with and take your fingernail and press it into the top of the corn kernels in the middle of the ear. If you can easily compress the outer side of the corn kernel and you see a buttery yellow color in the cross section of the kernels all the way to the tip, then you're still at dough stage. When you do get to dent stage, that top of the kernel will turn hard, where you cannot press your fingernail into your, you know, it's not easily compressible, you might say. The outer side of the kernels will turn a bright, dark yellow color like you're accustomed with on mature corn. So those two things are the first thing I look for. Obviously, use your fingernail test on that seed coat. And then after you've done that a little bit, you can tell just by the color of the kernels or what you saw last week, or look at different cobs, I guess, to see if hard starch is present on the kernels and you got that dark yellow color as well.
As this corn is progressing, about how long does it take for it to go from milk stage to physiological maturity?
Well, I'll kind of walk you all the way through, I guess. Milk stage is typically going to be somewhere between 15 and 20 days after tassel. Dent stage is going to be about probably 28 or 30 days after tassel. So you've got about somewhere between 10 to 14 day period from milk to dent stage. And then you've got about a 25-day period from dent stage to physiological maturity. That's certainly a lot longer period. But the good thing is when that hard starch layer forms in the tip of the kernel, it progresses relatively steadily through the kernel over that 25-day period. And by breaking those ears in half, looking at a cross-section of the cob, and seeing how far that hard starch layer is through the kernels, you can estimate very, very closely how far away you are from physiological maturity relative to that milk line progression.
As we progress through these reproductive stages, how does water use change?
Despite the high temperatures that we have right now, the crop is going to require substantially less water. And it kind of follows a bell-shaped curve where maximum water use occurs right prior to tassel and extending about 3 weeks after that time period, you know, certainly up through milk stage. We've already seen some water use starting to decline from milk to dent stage, and we're going to even see much more dramatic reduction in crop water use from dent stage to physiological maturity. So, you know, it certainly every week we get later into the growing season, we're going to see reduced water use in the corn crop.
And as this water use is changing, how can we conserve money by extending irrigation intervals?
Well, there's certainly a lot of opportunity to extend those irrigation intervals as we get later into the corn growth stages, particularly after dent stage. And a good example would be right now, I mentioned last week, I guess, that the irrigation interval was already lengthening a little bit. You know, at peak water use, we're looking at probably 7 to 10 days, maybe 11 days between irrigations. Right now, we may be, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 to 15 days between irrigations, you know, depending upon the crop growth stage. And it's not uncommon to irrigate the corn shortly after dent stage and be able to carry that crop all the way to physiological maturity over perhaps as long as a 20-day window, depending upon your soil type and your irrigation infiltration relative to the type of system you have and the soil texture and irrigation capability. So it's really difficult, I guess, from a human instinct standpoint. We like to do things consistently, and we hear the term all the time, you know, we're 7 days away from a drought. That only applies during a very small window of the corn growing season. And certainly now we're getting towards a tail end where we're seeing water use being extended much further than what we were certainly, you know, a couple of weeks ago back when we had a dry period. And, we're certainly going to see water use drop off even more considerably over the next couple of weeks as we approach physiological maturity. So the dollar savings come into the fact where instead of irrigating every week over the next three and a half weeks and irrigating three times, practically in most situations, we can probably get that done with two irrigations and sometimes one in certain situations, or if we're a little bit luckier, the crop is further along in maturity right now. So there's several opportunities, or plentiful opportunities, for saving some money right here at the end of the season in terms of irrigation timing.
You know, and as this crop progresses through its final stages here, what should we still be scouting for?
A lot of the same things that we talked about in the last program. Number one, soil moisture. And a good example would be just yesterday we were in the Delta looking at cornfields. We have soil moisture sensors in the field. We'll go behind or go elsewhere in the field and look and basically confirm that those soil moisture sensors are correct. Sometimes we think we notice that there's issues associated with the readings that we're getting. That could be due to soil compaction in parts of the field, changes in soil texture. You know, if the soil is wet and we get a rain on it, we may not get the infiltration that we're expecting, but it's certainly good to go behind and actually put a shovel or put a soil auger or something into the soil and confirm what your soil moisture level is throughout the rooting zone, which is going to be a lot deeper than what you think. Right now in most all of our irrigated fields where we've got soil moisture sensors, and what we've learned over the years is that corn roots this time of the year will be using moisture from 30 to 36 inches deep. So we need to be looking at the soil moisture. Obviously, we're looking at pest issues that are present in the field. Probably the most threatening may be some disease issues. Southern rust is one that we always look at this time in July. It's a disease that likes hot weather, and certainly we've had plenty of that in very humid conditions that are conducive for its development, and have a little bit of southern rust in southern parts of the state. But for the most part, it hasn't risen to a threatening level in most of the growing areas, thankfully, at this time period. The other thing that I would look for before the growing season ends, or we continue to look at, is things like nutrient deficiencies. We start to have problems with nitrogen deficiency or other nutrient deficiencies. Oftentimes it'll be at the tail end of the year, basically don't have enough to sustain the crop all the way to physiological maturity. So despite us progressing past that critical window or the early reproductive stages, tasseling, pollination that we are so concerned about with management, we can learn a lot right here at the tail end of the year and adapt our management strategies and certainly improve our productivity and our profitability potential in the future going forward.
So in summary, what you say about this program would be that water use is declining considerably, and now is a great time to take advantage of that and to conserve irrigation expenses.
Absolutely. Certainly a lot of potential there for us to make this corn crop more profitable by just supplying the resources it needs and finish it out, have a good productive crop. Once again, we thank you for joining us for another edition of the Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast. Please subscribe and follow or check out the blog articles on the Mississippi Crop Situation blog, and we'll look forward to seeing you again next time.
The Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast is produced by the Mississippi State University Extension Service.